Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Oh, welcome back. There's a article in The Athletic we already mentioned. Give them a nice plug here, but they deserve it. I mean, great Kings coverage. What do you want? Not just the anonymous player thing that we're going to get to where they asked them all kinds of questions, but Anthony Slater and Sam have a pretty extensive deep dive on the Kings. And part of it that I thought was very interesting was on Mike Brown. You know, he signed a four-year deal in 2022, but the fourth season is a mutual option. Both Kings and Mike could opt out. So for practical purposes, next year's a contract year for him. And according to their sources, and I have no reason to disbelieve this whatsoever, he's looking for a longer-term commitment at market rate. At his market rate. Now, the coaching salaries have kind of reset since he signed. Kerr got 17.5 mil, Pop 16, Monty Williams 13. And I think it's fair to say that he probably won't command that, but it's probably going to be in those double-digit millions per year, 10-ish whatever. So it's really interesting to think, okay, well, maybe they come to an agreement. Like, he's not going, he'll be back next year. Yeah. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. But I think it's fair to say if they don't come to an extension agreement this summer, now all of a sudden it becomes a little bit of a distraction next season.
Yeah, and we all think there's going to be, you know, changes with this team, but the one that has to be addressed is Jordy. I mean, Jordy does get that other job in Brooklyn, and that he was a lead assistant. So something that will be addressed, but that's going to be an important hire for Mike Brown and his staff.
Well, and on top of that, even though it doesn't count against the cap, you know, you also have the Malik Monk thing.
Correct.
That's hanging over everybody's head. Yeah. And it's nothing new here to report. Certainly sounds like he definitely wants to return, but the Kings are limited in what they can give him. I believe we've said it before, 4 years. I want to say 76 or 4 and 78, somewhere in there. 4 years, 78 is the max long-term deal they can give. They've extended out with all the maximum allowable ranges. The question, though, is at 26 years old, coming off an injury, if Orlando, if Philadelphia, if one of these teams with cap room comes in with a four-year, $100 million deal, and again, I'll restate it because it's boring and nerdy, but it matters. If he goes to Orlando, there's no state tax there. So Correct. Now it's $24 million plus all of it. You're talking about a good $30, $35 million more over 4 years. That's almost $10 million more a year on its own. If he goes to Philadelphia, I'm pretty sure they have state tax in Pennsylvania. But again, just the behind the scenes of how this works, whoever his shoe company is, they're going to pay him more to be in Philadelphia than they are in Sacramento. So it's more money and then some. Whereas Orlando and Sacramento are pretty much even with the shoe companies as far as that money. It's you're asking him to give up a lot of money to come to stay here.
Right. A lot of money.
Life changing money.
Right.
De'Aaron Fox, easy to say, they're practically brothers. They go back to Kentucky after the game on Friday. He talked about the future of Malik Monk.
I mean, obviously I think he was extremely big for us. You know, people that watch us play know that he should be sixth man of the year. But at the end of the day, you know that this is a business. And I feel like what he gave to us in the 2 years that he has been here, I feel like he showed his value, what he can do for a team. And, I mean, I'm happy for him regardless if he's with us or he isn't. And he knows that. But, man, at the end of the day, this is a business. You can only play basketball for so long. Yeah.
He was just asked, because it's low there, De'Aaron, have you talked to him and tried to convince him to come back?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for sure. But, you know, money talks. Like I said, you can't play this game forever. You know, you have such a short window to play basketball. Obviously, not everybody's going to be Bron or CP and play 19, 20 years. So you have to be able to get paid whenever you can, obviously. And, I mean, that's what Vince Carter told me. And he played 21 years. So, man, Malik was great for us. Obviously, I would love to have him back. But, you know, I don't know what the future holds.
Okay. Well, there's a real easy two ways to take that. Number one, an incredibly understandable and normal Kings fan way to take that. He gone. Yeah, he's gone. He's gone, and Fox knows it, and a lot of that conversation was, yeah, I'd love to have him back. Money talks. The second way to take it is, take Fox exactly at face value. He'd love to have him back, but he understands it's a business, and he certainly doesn't want to put any public pressure on his friend, especially with the fan bases, of setting him up to think, oh, well, you should stay here out of loyalty. Look, I'm all for loyalty. As a Kings fan, I want Malik Monk to stay so badly, but also I don't like the idea of bringing loyalty into the equation, because just as Malik Monk could be loyal to the Kings and sign him, okay, great. He could sign the deal and the Kings could trade him the following, you know, year from there. You know, loyalty works both ways, and it is a business. So the second way would be face value. I don't know what the third way would be. Maybe it's just two. but I'm going to choose to not overread the tea leaves. If you ask me today, right this second, if I had to bet, I would bet that he'll go. I would just have to bet that he is going to get a nice offer. I understand that selfishly, and I've heard this from some Kings fans. I understand it, but I don't agree with it. You know, selfishly, some of them are like, oh, don't win the six. I hope Nas wins the sixth man, not him, because that'll just increase it. I want it. Screw it. Win the sixth man. I don't want to think like that. I think it's really simple. I don't think the Kings control it. I think Malik Monk's future is largely controlled by the Philadelphias and Orlandos of the world. It's really simple.
That's exactly right.
If they believe that Malik Monk is worth 4 years and $100 million, I think he's probably gone.
And if not, then okay.
I think if it comes down to Sacramento versus everyone else and the numbers are within the margin of error, he's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, to me, my read on it, again, without, you know, true intel from Malik, I feel kind of what you're saying, Dave. It's like, I think he likes it here. I think he's had a good time. I think the fan base loves him. I think there's a lot of reasons to stay. But until you see what that offer is, to do the same job, it's not like he's changing, you know, like when we all think of it, it's like, no, he's not changing jobs. You know, he may change cities.
Yeah.
But, and the price point could be that much, you know, so different. And then the other part about this, the reason for maybe Malik to not only take, let's say it's a four-year offer from Orlando, it's also at 26, you kind of want to start the clock, because if Malik's great for those 4 years, he can get one more. Big one. Now, if he bets on himself or the Kings, I know it may not seem like much, but you're waiting a year. Then you get paid a bunch, so you've already cost yourself 1 year. And then on the back end, did you cost yourself again? And that's – or an agent's going to look out for your best interest and go, here's the total pool you could make if everything goes right. Here's what it would probably be in Sacramento. And I think that that overall difference is going to be substantial.
And I don't know enough about – in fact, I should ask this question. I know that you can do like a two-year with a one-year opt-out. But I do wonder if – I mean, honestly, could they sign him to a four-year with a one-year opt-out? I feel like I instinctively say they can't. I don't know why. I've just never heard of that. But, okay, let's just have fun. What if they could give him the full 478, give him a one-year opt-out? Obviously, they cannot say, hey, do this, and then after a year, we'll sign you to a big, giant, fat deal, because that's really super illegal. But, hey, look, let's give you a four-year deal so you know you have the security. We'll give you an opt-out, and that way, if things go great, you can opt out, and now we got to come to the table. And if they don't, you know, you get hurt, God forbid, something happens, you at least have $80 million, you know. I don't know. It's going to be a And by the way, if they lose Malik Monk, it's not like they can use all of that available cap space because right. there's limitations right. on that too. We will take a quick break. When we come back, three for madness. Who didn't step up? We'll get back to the Malik Monk question. And was the season a failure? Just straight up. Was it a failed or less dramatic? Was this season a step back? I think is probably more accurate. We'll get to that in just 1 minute.
Three questions, three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
All right. Coming up next, we got to look at other series, but yeah that's going to be kind of the theme. It really is.
And wait, the NBA is still going on?
I know. Like, it's not just, I thought there was one playoff game worth a crap. We'll get to that. I thought there was one playoff game. You could argue a couple, but there was one game where I was like, okay, which is a hint right there. But no, it's just, I'll tell you one thing. Every home team won.
So far, you know.
Three for madness. Christopher Locke, question one, please.
Who specifically didn't step up Friday?
We talked about this in leading off. Again, my opinion here. I think I'm not going to overanalyze it. I thought Keegan Murray proved again that he is a different player on the road. At least he was this year than at home. Look, I get that Keegan's a sacred cow. I love him, and I think he's got a huge future, and we'll talk a lot about that. This is in no way, again, got to say it because things get taken out of context, Jason, as you know. This isn't a personal attack on these guys. This isn't me thinking that they didn't want to do, you know, there's nothing malicious here. But Keegan Murray, just it looked like the lights were too big for him. Offensively, he was 1 of 6 until late, 2 of 6 from, 2 of 7 from beyond the arc. His shot was just off. And Keon Ellis, as wonderful, as amazing as he was against the Warriors, just wasn't there. Wasn't there. It was an absolute stinker of a game. Fox and Sabonis, awesome. Great. I have no complaints with them. And even Barnes. 17 points from Barnes. It doesn't tell the whole story. Plus, he had some huge defensive assignments there. And you have to credit that backcourt, too. Let's not forget, you know, a guy like CJ McCollum was effectively shut down. Mm-hmm. In the end, Brandon Ingram was just too good for these guys. I thought he was the difference maker. I think they were outscored, 30-something to 12, 34 to 12 on the bench. But if I'm pointing to who didn't step up, it's Keegan and it's Keon Ellis.
Yeah, I'm going to go just, and it's like you said it perfectly, it's not a reflection of the season. This is the one game. To me, it's Keegan.
Yeah.
And I'm going straight there. And it's also partly because I know we can do it.
Yes.
Like, Keon, I wasn't certain, and he had such a great game against the Warriors. I was like, wow, this is a really big stage, and he was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this was a really big stage, and he was not. But I'm not – I put more on Keegan because of his importance to this team. I think where he's going to ultimately be. Let's put it this way, Dave. If Sabonis or Fox had the game Keegan had, they'd be getting crushed.
Crushed.
And I think it's more disappointing because I think Keegan is that important to this team and can be that good and has been that good at times. So if I'm picking one, I hate to do it, but it's Keegan Murray.
And by the way, ifs and buts, of course.
Right.
But if Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis have anywhere near the games they had against the Warriors, we're talking about the game one in OKC on the show today. That's, to me, the bottom line. You lose as a team, but the question was who didn't step up. There you go. Question two, please.
Question two.
Was the season a failure?
I think the season was a step back. I don't think it was a failure. And let's be honest, if I'm really simplifying it, other than, you know, relocation and off-court stuff, I think my favorite moment since 2002 when the Bibby shot went through was that night against the Warriors. Now, some might say, and they have said, how pathetic is that? One of your top moments is knocking out a non-playoff team and you still miss the playoffs? Mm-hmm. And my answer would be, that's how bad it's been. To be there, whether you were there or watching on TV, and to see the joy in the fans' faces, you sent home, and Warriors fans get so upset at this, they get so triggered by it, but it's like, guys, you're so stupid. You don't even realize that counting this as one of the great moments in Kings history, if you do. It's such a compliment to the Warriors. It's such a compliment to the Warriors. If we had knocked out the Rockets, I mean, no offense to the Rockets, but okay. You sent home Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. You held Thompson to 0-10. You sent that whole group home. That's a huge moment. So for me, in a microcosm, this season did give me one of my all-time favorite Kings moments. But it's not about them losing the Pelicans. It's not even really about them giving that game back to the Suns or having 20-point leads in New York and Oklahoma City and blowing those or being up one against Boston with 8 seconds left in the ball and losing. It's about Detroit. It's about Washington. It's about Charlotte. It's about Portland. It's about that blown lead in Phoenix earlier this year. It's 1, 2, 3 of those games go the other way, games they 100% should have won, and we're having a different conversation right now. That's, to me, they better learn those lessons, man,
yeah,
because that's not who they are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like semantics here, season of failure feels a bit harsh, but if the goal was to get to the second round, yeah, they didn't reach goals, right? They didn't even come close to that. But I also feel like this needs to be looked at in a longer version than just this season. Are they Chicago where it's like, boom, blast, here they come, what a great year, and then they're not really very good. Like,
right.
So last year was a lot of fun. They made the playoffs. They made a statement this year based on the West being tougher. They didn't make it. They were a 46-win team. Look, the Warriors didn't make it. And if they'd beaten the Pelicans, a 49-win team would have not made it. So it was that competitive. But are they a 38-win team next year? Are they a 55-win team next year? I mean, I feel like it's what did they build off of this to continue kind of this group's story. It won't be the exact same team. So I feel like there's more to go.
Yes.
But for this season, yeah, I mean, I feel like disappointment is feels better than failure. But,
yeah.
I mean, if you want to be harsh, that's failure.
We're not at the end of the road with this team.
Right. Again, the parallels, if we go back to the early 2000s, the first time they went through, five-game series with the Jazz.
Yeah.
We're all excited. The next year, their record was a little better, but they didn't get through the first round.
Right.
It took them 3 years to advance a round, and then, you know, it took 4 years to get to the conference finals. So, and then the slow fall-off happened after that. Now, is this the start of something or not? I would have thought before the year, the Warriors, the Kings, the Grizzlies would have all made the playoffs. The three didn't.
Yeah.
So will next year be similar to that? Will it be different? Will the Kings be in the mix? It's a big mystery. It's a big offseason.
There's no way to find out. Will there be injuries on other teams? Will there be injuries on the Kings? God forbid.
Right.
We just don't know. Number three, please. Three.
Straight up guess. Will they sign Malik?
Will the Kings sign Malik Monk? Straight up guess. I mean, we said extensively in the last segment. It's going to depend on his. I do not believe the Kings control their own destiny here. I think it's going to come down to the offer he gets. This is my best, and I think we should make it very, very clear here. There are times when, you know, we have sources close to the team, we have inside information, blah blah blah. We share that when we can. And sometimes we can't share that inside information, but we have sources close to the team that allows us to kind of guide inform our guidance of the audience. I think it's really important, at least I'm going to communicate. I have no knowledge, nobody in the camp, I've not heard anything beyond, well, we think we have a good, you know, we really hope so. We know he wants to stay. You know, that from Monk's camp. He wants to stay here. He loves it here. From the Kings, they really want to bring him back. That's the most inside information I can give you, and it's not inside.
Right.
So based on that, this being a pure guess, I believe the following. If one of those teams out there throws him a 4-year, $100 million deal, I believe he will leave and take that money. I very much believe that. If a team offers him somewhere in the neighborhood of what they... I think Kings are going to go right to him and say, hey, dude, 4 years, 78, here, we've already made it out. You know where we're coming from. We're not screwing around here. This is the absolute most we can do for you. You know that. Now, if you want to work on structuring and opt-outs, we're all game. You know the salary cap like we do. So we'll do whatever. And then I think Monk's camp will say, okay, cool. We'll get back to you. Gauge the offers. And if he's getting 4 years, 80, 4 years, 85, I think maybe even 4 years, 90. Who knows? Okay. He might take a little haircut.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we're getting into the triple digits, if we're getting into $100 million over 4 years, he goes. And he's 26. I can't blame the guy.
Yeah, and if that's the case,
yeah,
then it also feels like the second question we asked changes a little bit.
Voof.
Right? The season of failure. Well, if you end up losing Malik Monk, who I think will win Sixth Man of the Year, who was having a great season, and at the trade deadline when you had opportunities, maybe, I don't know what offers were out there, Like that adds to kind of feeling like the season was a failure,
yes.
Right? So I don't think the season's over, but I don't think the final script of this year has been written yet. So that could either add to it or help it.
Can I also just add in a postscript to what you said, which is all true? It seems like Monty McNair, he strikes when we least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the draft pick situation. I understand the salary cap situation. But there are decisions that could be made out there that could radically change the way this team looks.
Like this summer, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't fall, not you, I'm saying don't fall for the idea that, oh, they're absolutely stuck. Yeah, I know where the cap is. I know where the draft picks are. But we also don't know who's out there. We don't know who they might convey that pick to. We don't know if they could work something out with Atlanta. We don't know that Keegan Murray is still protected. Hell, we don't know if Fox... I mean, again, I think it would be ludicrous to think Fox and Sabonis are going somewhere. But, oh my God, what if XYZ PDQ players show up and it's like, okay, you do. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm just saying there are always options if the right offer comes in or the right... This guy's tired of this team and he wants out. Okay, let's figure something out with a third team. Let's not make the mistake of thinking Monty's completely handcuffed. It's just a matter of will the right situation show up and will he pull the trigger on that? So anyways, we will take a quick break. When we come back, East playoff series, we'll take a look. And you know what? We've got the West set up at 8 a.m., but... Screw it. Maybe if we get too bored with the East, we'll cover them both and then have a lot of other stuff to get to. Also, we need to have a conversation about Fox and Sabonis and what else they need as well. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at the other playoffs that are happening next.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
Sometimes I usually can show Jason stuff on social media. And unlike Chris, who has seen everything.
Yeah, I'm surprised I've seen that.
Yeah, and so it was this picture. Some of you may have seen it, but it's like... Like the three young girls sharing a hot chocolate or a coffee around a outdoor table with an umbrella and a.
What's funny, right from my angle right here is perfect because I see the other image from right here.
From your angle,
right here, right now, and then the second you turn it, it's yeah, I see the three girls.
I 100% can't, but the whole thing is like you're supposed to close your eyes and then barely open them.
No,
like,
seriously, come over here for 2 seconds.
Just squint at them.
You don't have to squint, like from the, or I don't know where it'll change for you, but from what angle?
Oh my God! Yeah. No, see? You're absolutely. Right.
Yeah, you see.
You see Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not making
but
a joke.
But then straight on, it's not even doctored. It's just a.
It's literally, hey, Verlade, hey, have you seen this? Okay, now close your eyes and just squint.
Okay, I can see here. It right now.
You can?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this, it's really cool, man.
Yeah.
Like whether it's Jesus or, you know, they
Jared Leto.
Yeah, Jared Leto. They could do a lot of, you know, I wouldn't mind one with Will Clark. That'd be a cool little painting to have.
Yeah,
have in your house. I'd be like, hey, squint. Ah, it's Jesus. Yeah. I like stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what? The one I can't ever do? It's like the guy in, what was that movie, Clerks? I'm the same guy. Like, I can't ever do the squint at the sailboat thing, and you see the other thing? You know those pictures where, like, you have to
stare? 3D pictures?
Huh?
The 3D pictures?
Yeah.
Sometimes I get them. Sometimes I don't.
I'm the worst. They're like, if you stare at it long enough, you're going to see the Milky Way. And I'm just
you have to unfocus your eyes.
I know, and maybe I'm just not a good eye unfocuser. I don't know, but
hey, unfocus your eyes.
Everyone else is like,
which is weird because you're so good at being unfocused at everything.
That's
else.
That's a great point, wow. Except for my eyes. Wow, that was like a. Was he's a kind dick. Of defending me by stabbing me in the ear. It was awesome.
Interesting.
By the way, hey Chris, how was your weekend? We spent enough time on our weekends.
It's okay.
Yeah?
It was okay.
Anything special? I mean, I know your soccer team won.
It was my uncle's birthday. Went over to his house. Had a good time.
Ah.
Tacos galore.
Yeah.
Hey.
I wish I was there.
I love tacos.
I do too.
Can I tell you guys something weird? I understand that this is like kind of sacrilege to a lot of people who are like, ah. To like traditionalists.
Don't do it.
Can I just tell you, I've had a lot of tacos in my life. I've had tacos here. I've had tacos in Mexico.
I know what you're going to say.
I know what you're going to say.
Okay. Let's see what I'm about to say, guys. because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are going to get mad at me. I just don't even care. All right, should I say it or you want to show
no,
me?
No, say it.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, I love Jim Boy Sacos.
Oh, okay.
No?
I'm covering mine up.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to do an ad for them. I'm just saying, they're so... Yeah,
who doesn't like Jim Boy Sacos?
Oh, well, no. Jason, San Antonio Puffy Tacos.
That's what correct. I thought
that, that is my favorite taco. There's okay. no doubt about it.
All right,
yes.
So I had the right idea.
Oh, you did. 100%.
I did not anticipate Jim Boy's.
They're
good.
I love them. They're good. They're just...
They're good.
They're probably not good for you.
Probably not.
And I think they put American cheese on them, I think.
Yeah, but you like the cheese on the outside, yeah. huh?
Well, do they not?
I know
they have the Parmesan on
yeah.
them. They're just, look, is it guaranteed diarrhea? Yes. Is it worth it?
Well,
going
there goes our sponsor.
I'm just saying, I love them. It's the grease, man. Like, have you ever held up a Jim Boy's taco and just watched it drip? It's amazing, right? But I will pound out some Jim Boy's tacos, bros. I will. All that I'm kind of hungry. Honestly, might do Jim Boy's today. And also, not for nothing, since we're just either pissing off or making sponsors love us, I don't care what anyone says. If I'm hard up and hungry and I don't want to spend a lot of money and I just need something to eat and I got, you know, I don't know if there's a term for it, but if it's late at night and you just really are very snacky, I don't think there's a term
for
that.
There's not.
Do it.
You know what? I don't care.
Yes.
Give me 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Give me them Jack in the Box tacos, baby.
Money. 6 Jack in the Box tacos?
I usually can't.
Two will work.
Yeah, 2 will work. 4 if I haven't eaten all day.
2 is good.
I don't know what they're filled with.
Something.
Soy. And a lot of it, too, is I love their sauce. The spicy sauce. Del Taco, without a doubt, has the best. I'm just telling you, they have the best fast food sauce. Del Taco mild sauce is I would probably take shots of it. Like it is the best.
An IV drip,
100,000%. But Jack in the Box, I'm just saying,
yeah.
There's no shame in that. I don't think. Says the fat guy. All right, I wasted enough time avoiding talking about the Eastern Conference playoff series, Jason, because I don't care.
Yeah.
They're not fun yet.
So on the first of our many flights home, I was watching Orlando and Cleveland, like that start of the playoffs. And just, you know, we're after the Kings-Pelicans game. You're watching that going, Kings are in the wrong division. They do just fine in this series. And it just, there was like, there wasn't a lot of zip or pep in that. I'm like, this is a playoff game. Come on, Cleveland.
It's just not there.
Let's go.
Man. I don't know what it is.
That was the first one. You're like, yeah, this series will.
Right.
Yeah.
114-94, 20-point win for the Celtics.
Oh, man. And they got off to like a 17-2 start. They're going to be, obvious. They're going to be tough to beat.
I'll tell you the most, maybe arguably the most interesting. I mean, it's a series you and I both were looking forward to. So the Knicks beat the Sixers 111-104.
Yeah.
That's not the thing, though. If I'm Philly, man, I'm seriously thinking about shutting Embiid down. He's not right.
So you saw when he went down.
I did.
And then just that whole one eye blinking, like, what was happening?
I don't know.
That was scary.
It was really scary.
And then he came back in.
You can tell, like, he was out, and then he came back, and it was too early, and then he was out for a lot longer. Remember, let's go back and remember, by the way, that there was an uproar about Joel Embiid load managing. Mm-hmm. That's how this whole thing started. He wasn't right. He sat out a game or two. I know there was a big uproar about it. And then he came back early. Then he really injured his leg, his knee, whatever it is. And then he was out for months. And it still feels like he came back early. Joel Embiid is a perennial MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have won the MVP this year had he been healthy, or at least would have given. He would have been second. At worst, he ain't right, man. He ain't right. And if there's a thought of doing long-term stuff, now look, if they're like, hey, look, you're going to have this off-season surgery anyways, worst case scenario, you tear a bunch of crap and you're still going to have the same surgery. You'll be back in October.
Right.
Great. Fine. But I don't think that's the case, man. At some point, and now I think, did I just see Tyrese Maxey's questionable for tonight?
Oof.
That's what scares me. It does not look like Embiid's right.
And it's, you know, the one part of that on the offshoot is it's really cool to see big basketball in New York right now. Like the Knicks those fans are having fun.
They are. Yeah. And good for them. Yeah. You know, they say Madison Square Garden's the mecca of basketball.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Here's a matchup.
Here's a guy.
Shout out Jim Cosmore. Milwaukee and the Pacers.
Yes.
Pacers had dominated Milwaukee pretty much all year. You didn't have Giannis.
Yes.
And Dame Lillard had, I think, 39 points in the first 4 minutes, something like that.
All of it. Yeah, none of the second half. Close.
Dame was really, really good. What did he have, like 2 points after that?
No, I think it was 35 and a half, and none in the second half, I think. Thought it was.
Yeah, I think you're – I know he – I thought he had – what did he have in the first quarter, dude? Did he have 30 in the first? Let me read that. He had that something much. Stupid in the first quarter. Yeah, he scored all 35 before halftime. But I want to say if he didn't have 30, he had close to 30 in the very first. Oh, excuse me. And by close to 30, I mean 19 is more than halfway. He had 19 in the first, 11 in the second, or whatever that was. No, 16 in the second. Hey, math.
Yeah.
It's what's fun. For dinner. Yeah, so, but here's.
That still could be a long series, though.
Can I just say something to be petty?
Sure. We like petty.
And we know how I really feel, but I'm just going to be petty here. Chris is smiling. You know where I'm going?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm all for it.
Chris is allowing it already.
If DeMontis Sabonis had 9 points on 7 shots in 38 minutes, the amount of you guys got owned by the Pacers in that trade would be off the hook.
If Fox had those numbers, they would say he got rid of the wrong point guard.
1,000,000,000%. And then Fox has 30-plus, does his thing, they lose. Now, I personally think that Tyrese Halliburton, since he got that injury, has not been the same guy. And, you know, in all seriousness, Tyrese Halliburton is a very, very good player. He's beyond a very, very good player. But my goodness, Wooferoni, 9 points, 8 assists, 7 boards. I mean, that's pretty decent. But just 7 shots throughout. And even though it was 109-94, I think Milwaukee just kind of fell asleep in the third quarter. It wasn't even that close.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, look, it's one game, but if they did that without Giannis,
yeah. Well, what's the saying? Playoffs will start till the road team wins a game. Nothing started, right? With all the East and the West being undefeated at home so far, one game apiece. And look, all these Eastern Conference teams will need to battle. They'll need to try. I think Miami will make it hard on Boston, but who's beating that team?
Who's beating Boston?
Uh-huh.
I don't see anyone beating Boston.
Yeah.
I don't see anyone beating Boston. I think Boston would have to beat themselves, or God forbid, an injury or something. But I said,
yeah, like Tatum had that nasty fall late, but he was fine. But like, yeah, something like that, you just don't want to see.
Sometimes
happen.
You know, just don't. And by the way, that wasn't dirty. Go back and look at the replay. Right. Drew Holiday straight push, dude. Like it wasn't. There wasn't anything going on there. Speaking of, you know, how nothing matters until. I would say this. I get it, and you're right, and I get it. But when you're an actual NBA team, you may not want to put it – like the Bucks put out like a hype video getting into the playoffs, as all teams do. And the first line was, what happened in 82 games, nobody really cares. It's what you do now. Now, I'm not disagreeing with that. I just also kind of question – is it a good look for an NBA team to basically come out and say the regular season absolutely doesn't matter and you shouldn't care?
Yeah, because people will remember that you said that for next year.
Right, so when they're coming out with the unfinished business, game one.
Or higher ticket prices.
Right.
Well, hold on.
It doesn't matter. What you literally said, nobody cares.
Yeah.
You bunch of wieners.
Right.
That's what I'd say. And that's it, right? Let's see. Did we miss one? Oh, yeah. All right, Cavs and Magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Franz Wagner, Wagner, Donovan Mitchell. That's like the who cares series. And I know that, like, as a Kings fan, I'd be mad if somebody else said that about
us.
But, like, who outside of Cleveland and Orlando right now cares? I mean, good for Orlando. They're in. Young team, right direction.
Yeah.
Good for Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell might be gone this year. By the way, to the person on the text line who keeps saying, I think there's more than one, who keeps saying the Kings should make a run at DeMar DeRozan. DeRozan. Rumor has it that the Bulls have already reached out with a 2-year, $80 million offer. I'm not paying. I'm not. It's my money. I'm not paying DeMar DeRozan $40 million to play for the Kings.
You will not.
I will not. Yeah. I called Vivek and I said, no.
Okay.
Bad. He was like, no, I wasn't going to do it anyways. Bad. No. We'll take a break when we come back. Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, the cornerstones of this franchise. But can they do it on their own? What do they need? We'll talk about it next.
In the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Well, we still have to get to the Western Conference series. Stuff to talk about those. After the Kings were already dismissed on Friday. That's the harsh reality of all this. It just comes to an end. Just cut off, just like that. After losing to the Pelicans for a sixth time this season. 0-6. Man, that team has been the nemesis in more ways than one. Obviously, the Kings not being able to beat them. The Pelicans, when the Kings were looking for some help, didn't help at all. And now they find themselves down one game to none. A game they could have won last night, but they did not. We'll get in the West Series coming up, but I know we've got more on your Sacramento Kings.
Did you say moron?
Yeah, I did.
That was my cue.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that the core of this team is Fox and Sabonis, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would put Murray, but maybe not everybody does.
I agree with both things you just said.
Yeah.
If you ask me what is the holy triad, it's Keegan Murray. And we're going to spend time grading him as we will every other player.
Yeah, but also with that statement for me on my behalf, it's also they're all touchable. When I say they're not untouchable.
And you know my rule on that. There's arguably three players in the NBA that are untouchable. That's it. Nobody's untouchable.
Right.
Sorry.
I'm not seeking, wouldn't want to trade any of them, but if someone offered a deal you just couldn't refuse or you thought would clearly make the team better, you do it.
And obviously there's a difference between, I cannot imagine a scenario where you would trade De'Aaron Fox or DeMontis. I can imagine it, but it's like the Spurs call.
Right.
You know, the Denver calls, right. Giannis call, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's that silly.
Yeah.
So for all intents and purposes, I would put Fox and Sabonis as, let's just call them the most valued.
Right.
I'd put Keegan on the next pedestal, but it is the next pedestal.
Yeah. What?
If somebody calls and they really, and Keegan is your key, I won't even say the player, but whoever it might be that makes a difference, a guaranteed difference. Like, this is our guy. Let's say it was. I mean, for example, if I'll give you an example that can't happen. In a world where Pascal Siakam was still out there and they wanted Keegan Murray for Pascal Siakam, maybe even a pick, you really would have to think about that.
Right.
Like, really think.
Yeah.
If he was going to sign and be here.
Sure.
And all that
stuff. The good and bad with Keegan is, the good is, as he's a King, he's paid the rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
So that's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
The bad part is, if you were even entertaining dealing him, the value you would get back wouldn't be the same. Like, you think he's playing above that contract.
Right.
So you're getting someone that's at a similar contract that's probably not as good as Keegan.
And you're also getting his attitude, his way.
Yeah, and where he's going to be.
Right. So. And, we'll get into it more, but when you look at, for example, he played three less games this year, but he averaged four more minutes a game. And he improved his shooting from the field, Jason. Last year, he shot 45.3%. This year, he shot 45.4%.
Wow, I would not have guessed that, though.
He improved.
Yeah.
He did fall off almost 6 points from beyond the arc, but He made almost as many, 2.6 a game to 2.4 this year. Up a half a rebound, up a full rebound, up a half of assist, half an assist, and exactly 3 more points per game. Now,
Better defensively.
And far better defensively, and also opened up his game a little bit more. It wasn't just Keegan in the corner.
Right.
If you extrapolate that and you say, okay, well, what if he makes the same leap next year? Okay. Well, now you have a guy who's scoring a little over 18. You have a guy who's pulling down 6 boards, 2.5 assists, a block a game, and playing really good defense and being fairly efficient.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they can't do it on their own. They need the Kings. Forget about Monk for a second, because that is what it is. The Kings are going to need another. I would prefer a bigger leap even from Keegan next year. And do we both agree that leap is there?
Yeah, I think it can happen.
Okay. I think that's huge. And then I think they just need to they need to shore up the 2 and the 3.
Mm-hmm.
I love them both to death. They're arguably my 2 favorite people on the team. I certainly could make a case that way. But I swear to God, if the Kings come into next season with Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter at the 2 and the 3, I'm going to riot.
Yeah.
Riot for real.
But yeah. Anyway. No, and I mean, I got to believe they know that.
I think they do.
Not those two, but the front office.
Yeah, I think they all know.
And if you just go to the end of last year, I think we probably wrapped up last season saying Fox, Sabonis, Herter, Monk, Lyles, well, Keegan's first year, all had their best years as a pro.
Yes.
And this year I would say it's Sabonis, Monk. Maybe that's it. I mean, I guess we just debated maybe Keegan's, year two was a little bit better, maybe in some ways. Fox, I mean, had a really good year. To say it was better than the year before, I don't know. It's really close. But the list is shorter is the point, right? Of people that had, like, Herter had a step back. Wow. Barnes had a step back.
Yeah.
Lyles didn't have the same year. The bench, the moves Monty made, right? The biggest moves were adding JaVale McGee. Okay. I actually liked that. I thought that would have a bigger impact. It didn't. Keeping some players was important in Trey Lyles, but it was really Sasha and Duarte, and that didn't pan out.
Well, I will say this to your point. I just had to take a look, but I feel pretty comfortable in saying this. I think Fox had his career year this year.
Okay, then we're good. But the list is, again, shorter than the year before. And I do think that Fox, Sabonis, and an improving Murray are a really good start.
I agree.
Now, if you lose Monk, that's a big,
it's a big
gap
problem
to fill. And if you are changing out Herter and Barnes or part of that, that's a lot of minutes, not necessarily starter, but some of them are starters, minutes to allocate there. That's a lot of work.
And by the way, just a quick note on Fox. Fox scored a full 1.6 points more per game than he did last year, and that is a career high. Fox almost doubled his steals from last year, had 2, led the league. That's obviously a career high. His assists were right with his career averages. He had a career high in rebounds, and he averaged 2.9 made threes per game. His previous high was 1.8. Those are significant. Yeah. Also, a career high in average minutes played at 35.9.
Steals leader.
Yeah, he averaged 36 minutes a game, led the league in steals, and scored just under 27 points a game. That is borderline superstar status. That is certainly star and definitely all-star status. So you have, as you said, you have Murray, kind of, Sabonis, Monk, and Fox all having career years. And am I wrong by saying, Jason, of the two, if you told me one of Barnes or Herter was going to come back and start, maybe I'm being a little pie in the sky here, but I'm kind of interested to see how Herter looks coming off the surgery, especially the way we heard that he had been battling with it. We all know that he was a completely different player after the 3-point contest last year. I'd love to get him on. We should. We have his number, damn it. And ask him, like, is this something? Because he said it's been bothering him.
Right.
Just makes you wonder, do you give up on the guy too quick when we've seen what he can do? There's also defensive limitations there as well. So we'll take a break. When we come back, let's hit the West playoff series. Here's a hint. Every home team won. But I think a little bit more entertaining, at least in one of the games. My favorite series, my favorite game of the weekend happened here. So we'll talk about that next.